Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. I want you to know, Pastor Drew, I chose that music just in honor of your morning excursion. Did you happen to hear the music? Did you hear it?
I'm glad I didn't hear the Jaws theme song before I went surfing this morning.
That was just a coincidence, but how do you like that?
I don't know if I'm going to go back in the water for a bit. That elicits too many strong emotions from my childhood.
Well, anyway, welcome to the show, Pastor Drew. I've kind of skipped my whole introduction, which is always ties into giving people the address to write me and your last name, but I will continue to skip it.
I got scared there. I'm sorry.
Well, this segment of the Bruce Allen Show is Teen Rap, and this is Pastor Drew Sams, who has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California, for the last 5 years, and he's also pursuing doctoral work through George Fox Seminary in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Drew and his wife live in Westlake Village, California, but Pastor Drew occasionally gets up early in the morning and goes surfing. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Oh, it's good to be back. Yeah, after I saw Jaws when I was a kid, I refused to even go in my swimming pool at home.
Well, you talk about a scary movie. That was a scary movie. It was somewhat graphic, but it was not, again, I think, of a gratuitous nature to the same way that horror films are today. Ironically, I have a good story about Jaws, which is I saw it at a industry screening because I was working in the showbiz at the time, and nobody had reviewed it. Nobody knew anything really about what it was. Spielberg was far from the big name he was. So we went to this industry screening at what was then the Directors Guild Theater and didn't have a clue. So as a result, the scares that became famous in the movie were completely out of the blue for us, and truly people were, you know, jumping out of their seats. So I consider that good filmmaking, whereas I haven't watched a Saw movie, I haven't seen Hostel or any of those Grindhouse or other movies, but from what I understand, I don't think I'd want to, and that kind of jumping out of my seat is more like throwing up out of my seat, I think. But I'd love your take on this subject, given that you are just slightly younger than me and may have your own experiences of horror films.
You know, it's interesting. I did my undergraduate work in psychology, and I remember one of the classes that talked about how one of the reasons why we're drawn to thrillers and horror films is it elicits that fight-or-flight response in our brain, which in many ways is kind of the same, hormones that get released when we do adrenaline sports, those adrenaline junkies out there who want to push the limit. And there's something about that for many that, they really feel alive, whether it's jumping out of an airplane or it's watching a horror film. So there's that psychological component. But, boy, I remember when I was in high school kind of getting into the horror film craze. And really when Scream 1 came out, I think, what are they on, 4 or 5 now?
It's 4.
Coming back around.
4 just came out, yeah.
4 just came out. And so I remember when the first one came out, started getting into it. But, boy, the nightmares started coming then. And, and here I am in high school. And it really affected me in a lot of ways.
Well, that actually goes to what Wayne was talking about in our previous Men's Room segment. He was saying that he didn't seem to have as much judgment against these movies as I did, but more that it depends on the individual, that some people it just rolls off their backs and other people it creates that sort of thing, a nightmare. I think you said that you have a companion with you right now in high school who was chosen not to watch those movies for exactly that reason.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually still driving back up from San Clemente where we went surfing this morning, deep down in Southern California, and I've got a high school dad and his son, and both of them actually were saying that they choose not to watch horror films because of it kind of sits in their subconscious, and it'll come out in dreams and nightmares. And so for both of them, they've chosen to avoid them.
Well, I have chosen not only to avoid those movies, but frankly, most movies that are ultra graphically violent, except where it is really appropriate, like in a Schindler's List or a Saving Private Ryan, ironically both Spielberg movies, where I think the portrayal of violence was relevant and, in fact, necessary. But the gratuitous nature of some violence, it turns my stomach. You also mentioned to me while we were on break that you had a biblical verse that you thought was relevant, and what briefly you told me, it sounded really, really right on.
Yeah, there's a phrase that gets tossed around a lot in pop culture, that the eyes are the windows to our soul. And there's that's attributed to many different authors, but really one of the passages in Scripture that I am drawn to is in Matthew 6. Jesus says that some translations it says the eyes are the window to the soul, other translations the eyes the lamp to the body. If your eyes are healthy and look at healthy things, then your light will be a life, or your life will be a light, and your whole body will be filled with light. But if you focus on things that are unhealthy, then you'll be filled with darkness. And I think that's different for everybody. Like you said, for some, it can roll off the back and not be affected by it. But I think it's just so great, whether it's film or it's television or it's novels, to say, okay, what is this filling me up with? Is this filling me up with light, or is it filling me up with darkness?
I can't help but believe that there is very few human beings that can look at lots of that so-called darkness and not be negatively affected. I just don't think you can just shrug it off.
Yeah, I've actually met with a couple of parents.
Now you broke up a little there, Pastor Drew. Say, one more time.
In high school, some of our high school students have actually come in with their parents because they've been so affected by some of the more torture films, mm-hmm. like Saw and Hostel and some of those other ones. So I've literally, probably about three or four different families have come in to meet with me because they're not just having nightmares, but during the daytime, for a couple of them, they're really starting to see others in a really negative light, starting to see people in a very, not in a loving way, but treating them as objects, and it was starting to spill over, not just in their dreams, but into their everyday life. So,
well, you're only validating my gut feeling. Elaborate a little bit on that. I'm disturbingly fascinated by those experiences you had.
Yeah, there's a theme I think throughout life, and I think it's very common. Whatever your background is the things that you focus on, whether what you read, what you listen to, what you watch, it begins to shape you. I think it's impossible to say that the things that we consume, even whether it's food or whether it's thoughts or whether it's images, to say that they don't affect us in some way is like saying, boy, I can go to McDonald's every day and fill up on that, or eat, Twinkies every day and not be affected by it. And so I think our mind is so complex, and it'll pop up in the most obscure ways.
Well, I really believe...
Lashes out, let's say. Yeah.
I really believe that what you're saying is completely the case, and that is why it is so often recommended to young people, or for that matter, any person that is going through a depressive episode, that the best thing they can do is to do some kind of charitable work where you're giving back to the world, and it allows you to focus on someone else, not yourself, and doing that good makes you feel good. So to me, obviously, the reverse has to be true as well.
Oh, it's so very true. We've experienced that one of the best ways to get out of that funk is to, like you said, to focus on others and to serve. Even this morning on our drive back, we were talking about this dad. He's actually involved in helping people who are in really tough situations, basically on a quarterly basis. They come in and they help, clean up their house and paint, and those that are unable to even keep their house in order, like hoarders, for example, they're able to come in and completely transform their home, which then, I believe, transforms their life as well. And it's just so neat hearing the stories that come out of that.
Well, again, it's giving to the world versus just taking or sitting back and watching ugliness. I also think it's our job as parents to some degree monitor the amount of that. At a certain age, like with my older son, who's going to be 18 this year, I can't really tell him he can't go see Saw 6, but I sure as heck wish he could balance it, and he actually has, because he's been taking a film course with watching some classic movies as well. Pastor Drew, we are nearly out of time, so please let our listeners know about your new website.
Yeah, right now I'm blogging at wewillsinganewsong.com, and all my info's there.
WeWillSingANewSong.com. That is where you can reach and read Pastor Drew. Thank you, Pastor Drew. Have a safe rest of your drive home.
Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it. And sorry for the bad connection on those spots.
Well, don't let it happen again.
I won't.
All right, take care.
I'll wake up earlier.
Okay. Thanks. Time for another break. You can tweet me at Bruce Salen or email me at Bruce@BruceSalen. That's Bruce and Salen, S-A-L-L-A-N. That's Salen, S like in Sam's, Pastor Drew Sam's, which was our last guest. We'll be right back.
On my face as in a dream. And the time.